On this episode, episode 100, so thank you for staying with us if you've been a listener all along, we're going to talk about the difference between tax planning and tax preparation. So we're going to dive into the misconception of tax planning, and then we'll dive into the two types of ways that you can pay less taxes, and then finally, we'll go dive into strategies that both need tax planning, and more importantly, that you do not need tax planning. As always, if this episode helped you or brings you value in any way, please do me a favor and share it with a friend. And stay tuned at the end. We'll talk about a program that we're running for this specific year-end tax strategy consultation. Thank you and enjoy the show. Welcome to Build Your Wealth Muscle, a podcast dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs build wealth by saving taxes and growing their money. Each episode will break down different strategies in the areas of business, tax, and retirement planning specifically for your coaching business. Disclaimer, the topics covered in this podcast are for educational purposes only. This is not advice for your specific situation. Please consult a qualified financial or tax professional before making any changes to your financial or tax situation. Now here's your host, certified financial planner and tax advisor, Pat Darby. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Build Your Wealth Muscle. This is episode 100. It's actually pretty fitting that it's episode 100 because I want to do essentially not a recap, but something that I talk about on many episodes. I want to highlight right now, especially if you're listening to this when it gets released, we're towards the end of 2023, towards the end of November. And this is the time of year should be very heavy on tax strategy, tax planning. So I wanted to do a refresher of an episode I've done probably almost 2 years ago, where we really did like a deep dive on the difference between tax preparation versus tax planning, because there is a pretty big difference. And if you're listening to this for the first time and that, or those concepts you're hearing for the first time, this is the time of year when you can actually take advantage of what tax planning is. So what is tax preparation? Let's get that out of the way, because oftentimes people will say to me, and probably to maybe they even get frustrated with their accountant because they're seeing a lot of tax strategies, especially with social media. If you follow any of the content creators that are talking about tax strategy like myself, you might be going to your accountant or your tax preparer and saying, hey, how come we're not talking about this? Or how come we're not doing this? And the simple answer is, well, there's twofold. One, most tax preparers, CPA firms, things like that, they are in the business of filing taxes. And so that is their core service. So now they might have the knowledge to provide the benefits that we're talking about today, but that may not be part of their service offering. So you pay them $500, $700, $1,000 to file your taxes. You didn't hire them in that scenario to dive through your P&L with you and look for all the different tax saving strategies that exist. Because again, they're charging for their time. So it'd be unrealistic for them to be able to charge that for everyone that they file taxes for. So a lot of the times people come to me because they're like, hey, how come my CPA is not doing this? And what we'll tell them is, well, you don't need to fire them to hire us, because we can file your taxes, or we could just come in as the advisor and still let your tax preparer do what they do. And we'll just give them all the notes and say, this is the strategies that we implemented. But again, I want to emphasize that because people sometimes come to me like annoyed that maybe they have the wrong accountant. And it's really just the ability to, let me say it this way. You need both a tax advisor and a tax preparer, because one is looking through and recording history, looking through the rearview mirror recording history. And you need that to be a very technically sound, skilled person, because you need to let the IRS know what you did and dot the I's and cross the T's on all the IRS paperwork and the state, obviously, as well, depending on where you live. And then conversely, you want to be able to strategically and legally manipulate that tax number forward looking. And that's what we're going to talk about today with the tax planning. So again, just to reiterate, you may not have a bad accountant. They just might not provide the service of tax planning. So if you need both, then don't think you automatically have to fire that person. What is tax planning? It's basically legally and strategically manipulating your tax bill, your tax liability. There's a misconception out there that, and this is actually where I butt heads with a lot of CPAs, because a lot of them are out there trying to save you money each and every year. And that sounds on the surface like a good thing, but it's not necessarily very strategic. And I'll give you a perfect example. If you're in the beginning stages of your business journey, and maybe I'm just going to use single as the example in terms of the tax brackets. If you're single and you're not making more than $180,000, just to keep the numbers round, you're in the 24% tax bracket federally, which that might still feel like a lot to you, but compared to the bracket goes up to 37%, then there's state, and then historically, it's much lower than it's been 30, 40 years ago. So if you're in that case, you're making less than $180,000, your business is trajecting well, there's an argument to be made that some strategies, you want to pay the tax today and move that money into a vehicle where you'll never pay taxes again. So in that scenario, if you're sitting down with a CPA who's like, oh, why don't we use this tax strategy where we get a deduction today? You know, that deduction might not be as valuable in a 24% tax bracket as it would be if you were in the 37% tax bracket. So that should be part of the analysis. And so it's true tax planning is not saving taxes this year. It's saving taxes over a lifetime. And to use a more simplistic example, and I have this conversation a lot this time of year with clients because they always are hearing about like writing off, buying expensive vehicles and writing them off, especially if it's a heavy vehicle. The conversation should quickly be based on what your business is doing now versus next year, because we have a pretty good idea at this point in the year how your business is doing. And that's why this is the gauntlet for tax planning, because you have a pretty good idea how your income is going to be as an individual. So all your businesses, all your rental properties, et cetera. So you want to be able to strategically plan like, hey, do I need those deductions right now? Or would they be even more valuable next year? And so that's part of the analysis. And a lot of CPAs, they're so laser focused on, hey, this is a deduction, take it now, versus like I butt heads with a few of my clients that are getting a little bit closer to retirement age, and all of their money, because they've been listening to their accountant for the last 20 plus years, all of their money sits behind a tax paywall in retirement vehicles that they're going to owe every bit of taxes on when they are liquidated. And so I have an issue with that, because there needs to be some balance there. So not making that situation worse is something that should be talked about. And again, to use some specifics so you can take away, I'm referring to like a traditional retirement account versus a post-tax retirement account like the Roths. So that's how you want to look at things. Now, there's other strategies in tax planning, like those were ones where I was talking about tax deferred. So if you talk to an accountant like, hey, I'll save you taxes today, I'll defer those taxes. So let me back up and let me say, because again, we started with the misconception is your tax planning means to save taxes this year, and that's the only focus, versus over a lifetime, which is the more important focus, because you want to pay less taxes over your lifetime. And the perfect example of that was Peter Thiel. He made his investment in Facebook, $500,000 in a Roth IRA. Now, he had already paid the taxes on that $500,000 to get it into the Roth. I'm sure that maybe there's some growth in there too, but you get the point. He paid taxes to get it in. He invested in something that was a total home run, and that $500,000 turned into $5 billion. I don't know where it is today. I don't know how many shares he has, but you get the idea. That tax strategy was a complete win, because he's not going to pay the taxes on that massive, massive gain. So that's tax planning in its finest. So when it comes to tax planning, what can you do with your taxes? There's essentially two main things that we'll do. We could defer them, and that's putting the money into like a traditional 401k, and you're going to pay the piper in your retirement years. And then there's a ways to legally avoid them. And that's using things like if you have an S corporation, you legitimately put a cap on some of your self-employment taxes and you're avoiding them. You could be moving money from a traditional account into a Roth account when the market is down. And that way you're converting dollars that will hopefully recover in the post-tax world. So you legally avoided taxes. The third area that is a misconception is tax evasion. It's not tax planning to just underreport your income. That's tax evasion and that's illegal. But the other strategies, so we're obviously not going to talk about tax evasion. You shouldn't do it. You should report all your income. And for those who are listening who are trying not to report certain income, I would highly recommend against that for two reasons. One, it's illegal. And two, in this digital age, regardless of what your friends are doing, and again, everything's quote unquote a write-off until you're audited. So you might have friends doing something that tax professionals have told you like, hey, you can't get away with that. That's not a write-off. But you're like, hey, but my friend's doing it and they're more successful than me. That's fine. Ask them if they've been through an audit, because most of those strategies, a tax professional will tell you that will fail under audit. Like, sure, you can write it off all day, but if you're caught, you're going to owe taxes and penalties on recoup that when that's disallowed. So just be aware of that. That, again, we're not talking tax evasion here. And the other reason you should want to report your income is because when you're out there trying to buy property and acquire assets, if you have underreported income, especially now with interest rates where they are, you need that buying power. You know, banks aren't going to want to lend to you if you've secretly made an extra 50 grand that you're not reporting, because it's not anywhere that they can verify. And so, again, the podcasts like mine are out there helping you report your income and find legal strategies to pay less tax on it. Okay. So now let's dive into the year-end strategies, because this is the time of year, like I said, that you should be looking to tax plan. Now, what do I mean by that? And at the end of this episode, by the way, we're doing an offer that's just for tax strategy. So if you're not an existing client, we'll run through. It's not going to be implementation, because that's very hands-on. So we charge more for that, but we can help you identify what things are available to you. But here's an example of like when you can quote unquote get away with not tax planning. The reason is because the money has to move. So if a client comes to me that I've never worked with before in February of next year, I can, even though they may not know of like the home office deduction or the vehicle deduction, things like that, they may not know it, but they're like, hey, can I write that off? Oftentimes the answer is yes, because they already spent the money and they likely spent the money in the appropriate way. So then we can go back and just categorize it properly, that the action already occurred in the proper way. The challenge you're going to run into, so like same with business expenses, like if you bought new laptops throughout the year, you know, you don't necessarily, I can tell you, hey, you know, you can write those laptops off. And especially if you put them on your personal credit card, there's things we can do to make sure that it's captured properly. But that's not what I'm talking about right now in terms of tax planning, because those are all something that we can capture by just you sifting through history. The ones that you want to talk about with a year-end consult with somebody are the ones that you haven't done yet, and you won't likely move the money the right way. So let me go through a few of the strategies that we talk about in our year-end strategy consults. And quite frankly, what I've had other podcast episodes on, because some of them, again, you want to plan for them as much as you can. One of the obvious ones, because it's talked about a lot, is paying the kids. And I'm not going to get into the details of how you do that, because it's different for a sole proprietorship versus an S corp. There's like different procedures. But what is ultimately the final step of both of the procedures for those, is that the money has to move from the business to your child's bank account in that calendar year. So you can't have a spreadsheet where you're like, oh yeah, like for example, in January, you couldn't sit down. Excuse me. I took a drink there. So you couldn't sit down in January and say, oh yeah, my kids work 10 hours this month, 5 hours this month, add it all up. And like, okay, I could have paid my 8-year-old, you know, $1,500 for all the labor they did. And then you transfer the money in January or February. That's not a write-off for 2023. Because the money didn't move. The money has to move in the year that you're for that particular strategy. It has to move. And most people listening to this, your cash-based accounting that you're using for your business. So if the money doesn't move, the deduction doesn't move. Another thing to keep in mind when it comes to year-end planning. So if you are paying people on a 1099, you're going to need, in order for you to write those off, you need to have a 1099 issued to that vendor. Now, again, you could talk to your friends. You could think back to prior years. You're like, I didn't do that before. Under audit, without that 1099, you could lose those deductions. So that's why you have to do it. So this is a great time of year because you might have vendors helping you with some year-end stuff, like marketing, whatever. Highly encourage you not pay them until they've filled out a W-9 for you. Because you need that information to send out the 1099. And now the 1099 goes to the IRS and it goes to them. Now, what they do with that income, if they don't decide to report it, that's not on you. You've done your obligation. Another one, again, you might have a board meeting at the end of the year, bringing in marketing people, finance people, accounting people, legal, whatever, operations, and sit down and have a big meeting about what you're going to do for how 2023 went. And what you're going to do for 2024. Again, if you plan to pay those people, fly them somewhere, that money has to move in this calendar year. And so I think you get the idea in general, like why the year-end planning is helpful for strategically thinking about what you're going to do. The last one I'm going to bring up is business entity structures. Now, I'm going to do a whole episode, probably the next episode, all about a new rule change that's coming. Basically, the financial crime, I forget what it stands for, crime and enforcement, something. But basically, there's going to be a new requirement for all LLCs starting in 2024 that we're all going to have to comply with, which I'm not too happy about, but it is what it is. It's our new requirement coming. It's going to get people talking about their entity structures. So in this instance, if you're going to have to report on all your entities to this FinCEN. And so it means you're going to basically have to hire someone, a law firm, to do it for you, most likely. Again, you can do it yourself, but a lot of times in this instance, probably cheaper and easier just to outsource it. But my point is, if this is a good time of year from a tax planning perspective to look at how things are set up for you. Do you have LLCs where you need them? Do you have LLCs that you don't need? Do you have LLCs that are not being used but are not closed? Because the FinCEN is going to require information on even your inactive LLCs. If you are a two-member S corporation, I've had multiple episodes where we talk about that's not very tax efficient. That's not the way you want to set up your businesses. If you have two people working in a business, that needs to be set up most likely as a partnership and having two S corps own them respectively. This is the time of year to clean that up so that the tax filing for 2023 can close things out properly. And then January 1, you kick things off properly. Same thing with if you're operating a business that has no LLC, you're a sole proprietorship, and you're making good money, more than 50, 60, 70 grand of profit. At the end of the year, a lot of those tax strategies like, hey, like don't be it, or you should be an S corp. You hear people talking about, I talk about all the time, you should be an S corp. But I've talked about it recently that towards the end of the year, the math stops being as favorable. And so if you've been delaying it, you're like, yeah, I really need to be an S corp. At some point in 2023, it stopped making sense for you. But getting that established and pushing it into 2024 as a start date is a no-brainer for a lot of people. So it could be a double whammy in terms of benefit for you, because in this particular year, if you're a sole proprietorship and you should be an S corp, the planning phase is going to be a double win for you because one, you're prepaying 2024 expenses, so you're going to help lower your 2023 tax liability because you don't have that S corp status, which would help you lower your taxes. And then starting in 2024, you're off to the races. So, if anyone if anyone's interested in this, again, we're probably only going to offer it to about 10 people, a strategy consultation where we'll go through all the different things. We'll outline how your entity should be done. We don't do legal work. So if there are legal things that we find, we outsource you to a law firm that will help you put those things in place. Again, we stay to our lane of taxes and finance, but the strategy session will be just that. It'll be a consultation. You can see everything that you should be doing and give you obviously the amount of the rest of the year to actually move the money to spend it on the strategy. But that being said, there won't be implementation included in this promotion. We're going to run it for Black Friday only because that's a lot of heavy lifting. So our clients that are paying for that, obviously they pay more because there's a lot more time on our end, on your end, to actually implement. It's if you are a DIY type of person or you just need the basics of like, hey, what can I do? Because a lot of times that's the problem. You're like on Google, like, hey, I'm hearing I should do this. I'm hearing I should do that. Being able to have sit down with someone and say, yeah, you should do it. That strategy works for you. So hopefully this is helpful. Again, you have, as I'm recording this, it's about 30 plus days left in the year. So any of the strategies that exist, make sure you move that money this year. All right, guys. As I'm recording this, have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day. Thank you for joining us this week on Build Your Wealth Muscle. The links mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes. For video clips and more information on tax and retirement strategies for fitness entrepreneurs, please follow my Instagram at ThePatDarby. If you found value in this episode, please do us a favor and share with a friend. If you tag me, that'd be appreciated also. Lastly, for help implementing any of the topics discussed, please book a call. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you again for listening and have a great day.